by the sun each morning, put my feet on a hardwood floor. I get to hear my children laughing down the hall through the bedroom door. Sometimes I sit on my front porch swing, just soaking up the day. I think to myself, I think to myself, this world is a beautiful place. I have been blessed, and I feel like I found my way. I thank God for all I've been given at the end of every day. I have been blessed with so much more.
Praise God, we are blessed today. Amen. This is Beacon of Hope Ministries coming to you live today from Clearwater, Florida. We are so glad you have joined us. This is Living the Good Life. Every Sunday at this time, actually, we start right at 4:34. We come to you live, and in the station with me today is Connie and Nathan. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister. We are Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are excited to be teaching and talking about the Word of God today. It's a great day. It's a beautiful day here in Florida.
Wow.
So
yes.
It's exciting to be able to share God's Word with all of you today. This is the Sunday just after Thanksgiving. And we had a huge church dinner last week. Wow. And a lot of Thanksgiving food. And some of you did all that on Thursday. And I know you're grateful for the time you got to spend with family and friends. And we're grateful for the opportunity right now to be able to come into your home or your car, wherever you are, listening to us and bringing you these words from God and just some thoughts today we think that are going to help you. We are going to talk today about being thankful in the midst of the storm, in the things that happen to us in our lives. Connie and Nathan, have you guys ever been through a storm, or are you? Is everything just hunky dory?
Oh, please,
so
like
to
a,
speak,
like a blizzard.
My
like
life
a
has
storm?
Been a bowl of cherries. You know, a bowl of cherries. A vase full of roses.
So you've had some storms? Because I think you're being sarcastic, Nathan.
Yes,
so
I am.
You are? Okay.
Oh, yes, I am.
So there, you've had some storms in your life, right?
I've had some terrific
And there's
storms.
Probably been many times when you thought, there is no way I can be thankful right now in the midst of this storm. And for those of you out there listening to us today, I hope by the end of this show, you are at a different place than when we began the show. I believe that you are going to hear some things that are going to help you live as an overcomer, no matter what storm, what situation is coming your way, because these things are going to happen. I mean, you know, we're going to have all kinds of storms. Connie, you've had a few in your life, haven't you?
Just a couple? A few.
And I think many in our listening audience are sitting out there thinking, yeah, if you even knew what I'm going through right this moment. Well, that is one of the reasons we have this show today, because we are going to learn to be thankful and grateful in the midst of the problem, whatever that might be.
We're going to learn to be thankful and grateful for the problem.
Now, wait a minute. Now, that's totally different, Nathan.
Yes, it is.
It's one thing to be thankful and grateful in the midst of it. It's another thing to be thankful for the problem.
Yes.
Yeah,
indeed.
We are going to talk about that today.
Are you a glutton for punishment?
Yeah.
Well, not really. But see, the thing of it is, a lot of times we don't see our blessings as blessings.
That's exactly right.
And we're going to learn about that today, too.
Right.
Yeah. We just see it for what it appears to be.
For what it appears to be.
Instead of what it can be.
For what it
is. What we can use it for.
Yes.
Right.
What God is intending to use it for.
Yes.
Suffering. We're going to talk about that because we do suffer, right? There are times that we look at each other and we say, wow, you know, this is hard. This is hard, whatever situation. Some of you out there listening today are going through some tremendous struggles in your life. You may be having a financial battle right now. You may be having an emotional battle. You may be having a problem in your family that you just find that it just seems like no matter what you say and what you do, things just don't turn out the way you want them to turn out. Maybe there is stress in your family life, or maybe there is stress in a marriage or a partnership or whatever the case may be at work. We want to talk about how God can take those struggles, those very situations, and actually turn them into something good for you. Some of you know this verse, and it bears quoting right this moment, right now, and that is Romans 8:28, and it says, "And we know." It doesn't say we suggest or think or we're not sure. It says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." Does that include you?
Yes,
Do you love God?
Yes, I do.
Does God have a reason for you to be here on this planet?
Yes,
some of you may be sitting there thinking, "I don't think he does. I don't know what it is. If he does, I feel very lost." Well, stay tuned, because we want you to gather that knowledge down on the inside of you today that God has a plan for your life. You are here for a reason. God is not a God of just accidental births and people not having any purpose. That everybody has a purpose, but we must discover that, find out what God is saying to us. And a lot of what our purpose is to learn how to become like God in the midst of the struggle.
Yes, it is.
Do the struggles do that for us?
Yes,
they do. They teach us?
You
know, tell me something, Connie and Nathan. I've got a question here for you. In our humanness, okay, let's say before you really knew the Lord, you know, before you really, of course, Nathan, you were saved at age 5, so, and Connie, you grew up in church too, but let's say if you can relate back to those times in your life where you really weren't following God that closely.
Yeah.
Not too long ago. Right. Okay. All right. What is the way that we, people like that, tend to react when a struggle, a storm comes their way? Give me some examples of what people do when they're having hard times. What do they do? They freak out. Okay.
Some people, because of fear, strike out in anger.
Okay.
I mean, that's the mode that they use.
And I'm the kind of person who used to clam up.
Okay. Oh, that's a...
I used to take it...
A lot of people do
and
that.
And stuff it. Mm-hmm. Stuff it down. And I used to... Oh, yeah. And I become depressed.
Okay.
Become overly self-critical.
Okay.
Wow.
Some of you out there listening are going, "Hey, that sounds like me." That's all right. That's why we're talking about this. These are typical human emotions. Go on.
Well, see, the thing of it is, you know, rejection was the major tormentor in my life.
Right.
And self-rejection almost killed me.
These are huge storms, right?
Yes.
Rejection, self-rejection. Absolutely.
Yes. And so, you know, I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart when I was 5 years old, but I'm still getting to know what it means to be God's child. I'm still learning,
right?
You know, because God's love had to reach through a lot of trash and a lot of garbage
in my
life.
Right.
Even before my 5th birthday, it was already in my life, and even after that, he had to reach through a lot of preconceptions, a lot of religion,
right?
A lot of rejection,
sure.
A lot of pain, a lot of struggle, a lot of rebellion. He had to reach through a lot of garbage that was in my life,
right?
To touch my heart with his love.
Amen.
Yeah, and it took him doing that, and me going through those tempests, those storms,
exactly,
to learn that God really does love me.
Amen.
You know, it's hard to imagine that God loves me for who I am.
Right.
And where I'm at. Because, you know, at different times, we went to different churches at different times and as I was growing up. And it seems like preachers go through cycles of things that they, you know, that they preach on.
Sure.
You know, hellfire and damnation. And, you know, I remember watching the preacher like practically blow a gasket because he was screaming and yelling so loud and banging on the pulpit and and stuff. And, you know, so it's
condemnation.
Yeah. And, you know, when you live that and then in your own life, you know, everybody has their own battles. And the biggest battle is between your two ears.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's true.
It is. And, you know, rejection is a big thing.
Right.
You know, and I remember growing up as a child of the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Well, sure.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the 70s.
Okay. Okay, if you say so.
Y'all are a lot older than me. You keep forgetting that.
Yes, we did. Because you're so mature.
Oh, yeah. That's right. But, okay, late 60s and 70s.
Okay.
Right.
How's that? That's it.
That's
better.
Okay. That's closer.
But, you know, and I think of, I wouldn't want to be a teenager nowadays.
Right.
Oh, no.
It's difficult.
Or
you talk about storms. Oh, you talk about difficult problems. Right.
You know, in the music back then, in the 60s and 70s, that was music.
Yeah.
And so when you were listening to things, you weren't being fed crap that, you know, about, about death and turmoil and constant conflict and stuff like
and
it.
Bitches and hoes.
Yeah, like it is now.
Sure.
And, yeah, it's bad.
And,
it's bad now.
You know, I can't imagine what I'd be like if I was grown up now.
Right.
Well, I mean, because I know how screwed up I was. I am.
We have all gone through difficult times like that, don't realize that God is right there helping us through those storms.
Yeah.
We don't even see it a lot of times.
No.
And that's the purpose of the show. And before we talk anymore, I want to teach to you in just a moment. So get your Bible and get pen and paper. If you want to, we have an absolutely great song that's entitled Peace in the Midst of the Storm. So let's listen to this and then we will talk some more.
I was sure by now, God, you have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. As your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. Side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you and raised me up again. My strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn,
Praise God. You are listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you each Sunday at this time. We begin at 4:34 and we go to 6 o'clock. And this is a ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. We are so glad you've joined us. Those words said, though my heart is torn, I'll praise you in this storm. There are storms in our lives, dear friend. You may be going through a huge one right this moment. Go with me to Matthew chapter 14, because in the midst of the storm, we find out who God is. Now, I'm going to say that one more time because you may want to write that down. You may not even know who God really is until you go through the storm. You may not even understand his power, his greatness, his presence, his comfort, his peace. Some of you heard me mention a couple weeks ago that my dad just passed away 3 weeks ago yesterday. Huge storm for my family and for all of us. Yet, God has been right there with all of us, bringing comfort and peace and allowing us the ability to go forward 1 foot at a time, 1 day at a time. Matthew chapter 14 is the story of a storm. And as soon as the meal was finished, I'm in about verse 22. Jesus insisted that the disciples get in their boat. This is Matthew 14, 22. And go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people, because you see, he had just fed 5,000 people. You see, they had had a huge victory. Now, I want to say this about God. So often we have these huge, huge victories in our lives, and then comes the storm, you know, and it's like Satan is saying, you know what? You're not going to be up there on that high mountain of praising God. I'm not going to let you stay up there. I'm going to throw this awful storm at you, and let's see if you're going to continue to praise God in the midst of your storm. And you see, this is what had happened. Jesus had just fed 5,000 people, and the disciples were rejoicing. This was a huge day of victory. And then here comes a storm. Guys, this is the way it works. You can almost guarantee that after a huge victory, Satan's going to try to defeat you and get you down to the bottom emotionally, physically, financially, in all kinds of ways. When you are walking on top of your circumstances as an overcomer, the devil comes in and says, oh, no, 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 I'm not going to let you stay there. I'm going to throw a big old storm at you, and let's just see what happens. And here we are. Disciples got in the boat and went on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. With the crowd dispersed, Jesus climbed the mountain so he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone, late into the night, praying. Meanwhile, and by the way, that's a hint too, after a huge victory, you need to really take time to pray and get alone with God. You say, wait a minute, when things are going so great, I don't tend to pray like I should. That's precisely when you need to take time, when the things are going good and you've had that big victory, because you know that Satan's going to try to knock your socks out of from under you. So here, this was going on, and we are in verse 24 of Matthew 14. Meanwhile, the boat where the disciples were was far out into the sea, when the wind came up against them and they were battered by the waves. Now, this happened to me about a year ago out there on Caladesi, and I was paddling my little kayak. Some of you from Beacon remember this story, and a big old wind came up and it just started pounding me into the rocks on the shore over at Dog Beach. And a friend of mine was with me, and she went on ahead because there was no way you could even turn around and help anybody. I mean, it was just like this. And she didn't realize I was having such a hard time out there. And I was pounded 3 times into those rocks till I finally gave up, got out of my boat, took it around and put it up on the sand and hiked all the way back, and then got the forest ranger to come help me. But that was one of those situations where it just, like, the wind was so strong. Some of you out there right now today are going through circumstances where it seems like the wind is so strong that you have no way. You're just feeling like you're pounded against the rocks. There is hope for you today. Hear me. There is hope for you today. God is going to rescue you and deliver you from the pounding against the rocks. Listen what happened. All of a sudden, this wind came up against them and they were battered by the waves. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, now it's got to be pretty dark about then, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. You see, he defies any natural things. Jesus can cut right through there and meet you right where you are. He was walking on the water. They were scared out of their wits. I love the Message Bible because it just calls it like it's, they see it. They were scared out of their wits and they said, oh, it's a ghost. And they cried out in terror, but Jesus was quick to comfort them. If this word comfort is not in your Bible, write it in the margin or something. Jesus was quick to comfort them. And that, my friend, that's what he wants to do with you right this moment. Bring comfort to your heart. And he said, courage, courage. It's me. Don't be afraid. I would say to you in my listening audience today, courage. Don't be afraid. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter how misunderstood you've been. It doesn't matter how oppressed you have been. It doesn't matter what someone has said about you or what has happened to you. Courage. Don't be afraid. If you're sitting out there listening right now, please say it with me. Courage. Don't be afraid. Because this is what Jesus said. Peter was suddenly bold and he says, Master, if that's really you, I want to call me to come out there on the water with you. I love Peter's ambition here. And Jesus says, come on, come on ahead. Jumping out of the boat, Peter walked on the water to Jesus, defying gravity and everything else. Peter walked on the water to Jesus. But when he looked down at the waves, now y'all have heard this preached for years. This is a common story. But for some reason, I was going with something else. And right before we started this broadcast, God took us to this passage. Somebody out there in radio land listening to me today needs to hear this story. Maybe it's me. Okay, that's cool if it is. And Peter said, I want to walk out there too. And Jesus says, well, come on. But when Peter looked down and saw the waves churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and he started to sink. Some of you got some decisions to make out there today that are very difficult for you, and you are feeling like you're sinking under the stress of everything going on in your life. Peter yelled out, Master, save me. Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed his hand. Then he said, faint heart, what got into you? I love this. Jesus did not let him sink. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Jesus didn't let him sink. He just grabbed his hand and pulled him up. And he said, hey, faint heart, what it got into you? We know what got into him. That fear overtook him. And the fear is what gets to us so many times. The two of them climbed into the boat and the wind died down. Now, you see, when you're in the boat with Jesus, what happens to the wind? Okay? And when we're in the boat by ourselves, a lot of times the wind is just, it's just getting us. But when Jesus gets into the boat with us, the wind dies down. The disciples in the boat, having watched this whole thing, worship Jesus. Now, here's our point. Today, we want to talk about giving thanks and worshiping God in the midst of the storm. And when you don't feel like God is there, he is there. And when you look up and you say, wait a minute, God, I got to have some help. Peter looked up and saw Jesus. And you know that Peter, when Jesus reached out his hand to Peter, Peter took his hand, didn't he? It doesn't say that Peter defiantly said, I can do this by myself. I don't need you, God. I'm okay. I'm strong. I'm this. I'm that. You know what, guys? We're nothing. In our own strength, we are nothing. We cannot walk on the water over our circumstances in the storms that come to us. We can't do that in our own strength. I love the fact that that's how God trains us.
Yes.
God takes our storms and teaches us about his presence in our lives. God takes the storms and says, here, let me talk to you a minute. Let me talk to you. Years back, I gave birth to three children, wonderful children, and I remember their teenage years, and I remember that sometimes they would get into situations where, I could be able to use that and sit them down and say, okay, now see what happened? Now, let's talk about what you learned and what you can do differently. And I still love you. I'm right here. I'm your mom. I care about you. Now, guys, that's what God is with us. Yeah, we make a lot of mistakes and we get into a lot of scary situations and we get into a lot of storms in our lives and we look around and we go, how did I get into this mess? What happened to me? I mean, I didn't even know that, whatever. We can finish the sentence. And God says, you know what? No matter that you got yourself into this, I'm going to get you out of this. And that's when you begin to understand that God is going to reach down and take your hand and pull you out, probably in a way that you least expect, and at a time that you are shocked, God reaches down and pulls you out of that storm. Can anybody out there say, hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Bobby can, if he's listening. Can anybody say, hallelujah? In the midst of the storm, God is there. He is there. He is there. The two of them climbed into the boat and the wind died down. Take the hand of Jesus for whatever you are going through right now and watch the wind calm down. The disciples in the boat, having watched this whole thing, said, I don't believe it. No, that can't be. No, they didn't say that. Do you know what the disciples did when they saw this whole thing? They watched the whole thing. They worshiped Jesus. And they said, this is it. You are God's son for sure. You see, when we see Jesus, God, reach down, take our hand, and help us in the midst of some of life's biggest problems, we begin to thank him for who he is. You are the Son of God. You do love me. You do have a plan for my life. You care about every detail of my life. You are my King and my God. Praise God. Praise God. Nathan, Connie, I'm going to bring you back in here, but you're listening today to TAN Talk, 1340 a.m.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel.
All right. That's who you're listening to, and we're so glad you're listening to us today. This is Living the Good Life, coming to you from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are live in the studio here today. It's been a great week for a lot of people because of Thanksgiving, and a lot of you maybe have had a tough week. And in the midst of whatever it is you're going through, Jesus is right there. Is he here, Connie?
Oh, yeah. Boy, was he there today. What a service we had today.
What happened at church today?
The Holy Spirit.
What time
did
we start, by the way? Let's tell them all that.
We start at 11.
11 every Sunday. That's for people so they can sleep in, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
But we have coffee.
And donuts and cake. And
around 10-ish, between 10 and 10:30.
Yeah.
Right.
And then from 10:30 to 11, we sit around and chat and... Boy, all the new people today, oh, that was
wow,
fantastic.
Wow, fantastic. Oh, praise
cool.
God.
Too cool.
It's just awesome.
Too cool.
Yeah.
And then God showed up.
Gosh. Oh, yeah.
And the songs we thought we were going to do, we did a couple of those. And then Nathan, what happened? The Holy Spirit just took over, didn't he?
He's taking over right now.
I know. Nathan,
those are the best services.
He was awesome.
You know, as I've been teaching here in this, Nathan's just been sitting over here bawling like a baby. And he still is. Because you know that this is true, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know that God helps us through the storm.
Through the storm. And, you know, I mean, I'm just sitting here and, my Lord, a panorama of my life
wow.
just went through my mind
wow.
of all the ways that people, Satan,
right.
and I
right.
have tried to destroy myself, destroy
right.
my life.
Right.
And how God... was always right there.
Ooh, praise God.
Bringing me back from the brink of death.
Praise God.
Over and over and over again.
That's not just for you, Nathan. I feel the Spirit of God stirring within me right now. There are several people right now relating to you and saying, I felt that way.
Well, you know,
I've almost died, or I have almost died emotionally.
Well, no, I mean, I tried to commit suicide when I was 18 years old.
Right.
I mean, I was... sure that I was gone.
Right.
I was sure that, you know, but God spoke to the heart of the people that I was staying with, and they came back home instead of going to a 3-day convention that they were going to. They came back home and found me.
Praise
and
God.
I woke up in the hospital. But I mean, I was 18. This is,
wow.
I mean, I knew Jesus.
But you were going through some rough storms.
I was going through some rough storms. Pastor, storms. And I didn't even think about them in this relation until now, until the Holy Spirit just opened it up to me. The turbulence in my life where Jesus was right there. If I had not received him into my heart at 5 years old.
Right.
I cannot imagine I can't imagine where I would be.
You would have
right
been dead.
Now.
Yeah.
I've been gone. Mm-hmm. I've been dead and gone because, I mean, my family was not the perfect family, you know, and I hope
where is that perfect family?
Yeah, well, you know,
I don't think it really exists.
Well,
went off the TV.
Ozzie
and Harriet.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Leave It to Beaver
right. and stuff like that. But, you know, but I mean, I was a child who was abused by my parents and,
right.
you know, by my dad, especially and not sexually, but physically, verbally,
mentally,
emotionally. My father rejected me at birth because of the color of my skin, because he didn't believe that he could father a child who was as dark as I am.
Right.
And, I mean, my earliest memory was that I wasn't his child, you know, my father never ever showed any kind of love or affection towards me until I was 22 years old, and I had just done a show at the Waldorf Astoria that opened up for a very famous comedian, and I got 2 standing ovations, and my dad was, this is in New York, that's where my father lived at that time. And my uncle was with him. My uncle sang in the New York Metropolitan Opera.
Wow.
And he was there also. And my dad came down, put his arm around me, and because people were coming up asking for my autograph and, you know, shaking my hand and stuff like that. And he was standing right beside me talking about all the money he had invested in me and and how, you know, yeah, this is my son and da 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 da. And I remember specifically thinking at that time that, yeah, Dad, too much, too little, too late.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, my whole life, he wasn't there. You know, I mean, he abused us, and my mom put me in the hospital twice, you know.
Now, these are some serious storms.
As a child.
Some of our listening audiences had some of these same things happen.
As a child. And then, you know, after he had left, that I was sexually abused by the associate pastor of our church.
Wow.
And going through that was a storm.
That's a storm.
Because, see, at 5 years old, I knew that I loved God.
Right.
And I also knew that he loved me.
Yes.
I didn't know what his love for me was like, though, because I didn't have it. I didn't have an example of it in my life.
Right.
And going through that with that man of God,
quote unquote,
and you know, and I mean, and I confessed it to my mom. I told my mom about it, and she didn't believe me, and she doesn't remember this, which is, I'm glad she doesn't, because I forgave her for it, but. She slapped me and she said, "How dare you say that about a man of God? How dare you touch God's
anointed?" That happens
anointed?
A lot of times.
And it was an awful thing.
Right.
And so there was that abuse. And then I went through, you know, partner abuse, you know, people in my life that I fell in love with that were drug addicts and you know, physically abusive and that kind of thing. You know, it was like I would want to be with someone like my father.
Right.
Which was, it was a sickness, but Jesus was right there.
Right.
And I had that, still had that love. And I was writing love songs. Right. I was even then I was writing love songs to God and reaching out to Him
right.
and just loving Him and seeking for and desperately seeking for Him. So I went through self abuse.
Right.
And then as I began to mature in the Lord and get opportunities to minister. Boy, that ugly monster of jealousy would rise up in people right. that I was ministering with, you know, right. or people who had employed me to be a minister in their congregation or whatever, and different things. I mean, just I could just different
more storms,
things.
More storms.
It was awful, and right. it was like, God, why is this happening?
Right.
Why
exactly.
is this happening to me?
Right.
And so, you know, I'm reaching out to God, suffering the abuse,
right,
the humiliation. Humiliation. There are things that have impacted my life even to
sure.
this day.
Right.
That are the storms.
Right.
They're storms. But now in my life, as I look back, I'm feeling so much right now, the healing
right.
power of God.
Right. It's right here. It's in this studio today. Amen.
Reached down and
yes.
pulled me out of
right.
every single one of those situations.
Amen.
At when it seemed like it was the darkest hour, it seemed like it was the most horrible time, He pulled me out and pulled me to Himself and showed me, you know, your life means something to me. I have a purpose
Amen.
For you.
Praise God.
I have a calling on your life, and you are mine, and I love you.
Nathan, what you're talking about is absolute life that happens to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, pain and storms and situations where we look back and we go, why did that happen to me? And through it all, God is there to help us and make something good out of something that is that bad.
When I look back at my life
right,
and I realize that He was there and He
yes.
is there in every moment of that.
Right.
And that He was allowing those things in my life to make something precious
right.
of my life. I mean, diamonds come from
right.
coal.
That's right.
That has been pressurized.
Amen.
To the point that something beautiful comes out of it.
Are you saying suffering has a purpose?
Suffering has a purpose.
Suffering has a purpose, Connie? Do you think so?
I know.
This is tough stuff. But
yeah.
I believe, guys, that God, I feel it in my spirit. There are people listening right now that they're saying, wow, I relate to this, or I relate to this part of His story because I have also had something similar and I didn't understand that it could turn into something good. And God's word says in Isaiah chapter 61 that He turns beauty
from ashes,
takes ashes in our lives. Some of the worst, awful things that we think, how can anything good ever come from this? And God miraculously changes it around and makes something good, makes you wiser, makes you more compassionate, makes you more humble, makes you more in tune with God.
Right now.
Yes.
People are listening.
Amen.
And they are hearing this.
Amen.
And they're saying that their life right now doesn't make any sense to them.
Right.
And without Jesus, it won't.
It won't.
But with Him,
yes,
we know
Amen.
That God causes all things
Amen.
To work together. All things
right.
to work together for our good. And you know, all this, I mean, even if I wasn't so blessed, because I'm blessed. I am blessed with a plethora, with an abundance
yes.
of gratitude and an abundance of expression
right.
to God. You know, I'm blessed.
Amen.
And it's a blessing to be able to share these storms
right.
with people that are going through these same storms even right now
right.
and give them hope.
Give them hope, Nathan. Connie, is there hope? Has God taken any of the storms in your life and changed them around at all? Come on, talk to us about that before we go to a song here in just a minute.
I honestly feel like if you're willing to listen and learn from the strife and the struggles and the challenges, that you can be what you're put here on earth to do is to teach others about what you go through.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And to be able to share what what happened to you and what God has done for you, and you know, and I mean, I've said it before on the show. I'm just lucky to be alive. Mm.
Yes.
I have no story
like that.
Nathan's story. But, you know, and probably if people would look at my life, they'd think it was a, you know, a peachy, squeaky clean life. But it was pretty far from that. But it, you know.
You were working like 90 hours a week or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty good at making things look pretty good when, you know, because when you stuff it and stuff it and stuff it, you know, people, and you just don't react. And people that I used to work with used to tell me, oh, she's shutting down. She's shutting down. We can't talk about that anymore because she won't partake of the conversation, you know. And
that's
so
the one way you handled things, right? Yeah. You just stuffed it down.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of people that do that very thing and just push it down and don't deal with it. If it just goes away off the surface. Wow. You know what, folks, listening audience? This show is not going the direction we intended it to go, which tells me that God is doing something in some hearts right now.
Just like the service today.
Yes,
like
it did not go the way. But, oh, heaven came down. Oh, praise God. So what are you saying, Connie? In the bad times, the hard times, the times where you felt like God wasn't there, still there?
He's there.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you sure he was there?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Could you run to him and say, God, I need you right now. This situation is difficult. I need you, God. Could you do that?
I could. Did I? No, not all the time, but I do now.
But now.
Right.
And, you know, it's a process of learning. You just you have to realize that you trust and through your faith and reading the Bible and learning more and more about him and what God's character is and what he really wants for you.
Right.
You know, and it makes you want to have a relationship. It's not, you know, having a number to dial on the phone to call to talk to somebody when you're in your deepest, darkest hour. It's a daily, minute-by-minute conversations that you have with him and just living your life that way.
Relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Wow, we got a lot more to talk about. So y'all better best hang with us here a minute. We're going to play a great song and we will be right back. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Be right back.
Captive free.
Praise God. Welcome back. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, Florida. Living the good life. We've just had some really serious, heavy talk, haven't we? And I want to take us to 1 Peter chapter 4. I was preaching out of this morning, and I was going a different direction just now, and I feel like there are some verses here that really need to come to our attention today. 1 Peter chapter 4. And it starts out with verse 1 saying, since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, I love that. This is the Message Bible. It is 1 Peter 4, 1. Since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more. Okay, guys, we don't have a God that can't understand us. That's a lot of negatives here. Let me say it in the positive. We have a God that has gone through the same things. He has suffered abuse. He has suffered rejection. He has suffered all kinds of misunderstanding. He has had people that rejected him, betrayed him, walked away from him, turned away and said, I don't want to be a part of what you're doing. Since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. And this is the whole thing. As you learn that your sufferings are for your good, then you can begin to thank God in the midst of the suffering, because God is turning something good inside of you. I mean, it's changing you. Learn to think like him. Think of your sufferings, I'm in 1 Peter 4, 1, as a weaning from that old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way.
Mm-hmm.
You see, a lot of times we suffer needlessly. We suffer because we got to have it our way all the time. And God says, I'm trying to work that thing out of you. It's not about you always getting your way and you always being right and all of that. God is trying through suffering a lot of times to get our attention and to cause us to realize it's all about him. It's not about us. Okay? And he says, you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants instead of being tyrannized by what you want. Now, I mean, you can order our CD from this morning's service if you want to go to CDs at beaconofhopeministries.com, because this sermon just took off and went into a terrific direction this morning, because God uses our suffering for a reason, and it is to change us into his image so that we learn to become like him. When we're going through the suffering, all we can think about is me. I'm suffering. It's all about me. They did this to me. And they think this about me. And God, where are you? Because do you see that I am hurting here? On and on. It's all about us. And we have got to change our mindset to realize that suffering is okay. Jesus suffered. You say, wait a minute. Does that mean I shouldn't fight the devil? No, that's not what I'm saying. Yes, stand strong against the devil, but realize that in the midst of your suffering, God is making something good happen on the inside of you. You're getting stronger. You're getting more determined. You are more sure of your calling and what God has for you to do. Suffering causes you to find out who you really are. You know what suffering did for Jesus? It caused the whole world to know that this was the Son of God. I mean, the rest of us, we wouldn't have wanted to take all those lashes on our back, would we? We wouldn't have liked to have that thorn, that crown of thorns in our head and the blood running down, or the nails in our hands or our feet. No, we wouldn't want to have suffered like that. Jesus willingly suffered, knowing that through his suffering, people would see him for who he really was, the Son of God, and that God would get glory because of the suffering of Jesus. Now, guys, when you suffer for righteousness, when you suffer because you are who you are, a Christian saved by grace, you are taking a stand and people reject that God in you, let me tell you, God's going to make something good come of that. He's going to cause you to get stronger. He's going to develop your character. It says down in 1 Peter 4, it says about 7 or 8, stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. You see, when love is where you live, if love is what you're about, then the suffering turns into something good for you. Now, if you are out to hurt people and you are out to cause all kinds of problems, I don't know if your suffering is going to help you that much unless you come to your senses and realize that you're wrong. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with what God has given you. Be generous with what God has given you. Go down with me to verse 12 of 1 Peter 4. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. I love that. I got to say that one more time. Friends, when, not if life gets very difficult, because it is going to. When life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced, which was suffering. Mm-hmm. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. Do you know what happens when you're being refined? You're getting ready to look really beautiful. You're getting ready to look more like Jesus. When they polish diamonds, when they are working on gems and they keep refining them, okay? Or when they keep scrubbing them and whatever it is they do to them, eventually that diamond is going to be beautiful. And that is you. When God continues to cause something good to come from your suffering, look out, because you're going to look more like Jesus. And listen to this, and then we'll get Nathan and Connie in here. And it's at the end of 1 Peter chapter 4. So if you find life difficult because you're doing what God said, take it in stride. Trust him. He knows what he's doing, and he will keep on doing it. All right, Nathan and Connie, can we see that when we are suffering, we need to learn to thank God for it? And if so, tell me how that makes sense to you. How does that make sense, Connie?
Well, when you really think about it, it doesn't.
Okay,
you know,
thanks.
I mean,
yeah.
Just in the face of things,
yes,
you know, why would you want to thank somebody for making your life miserable, or whatever? But
well, if you were a little diamond gem, mm-hmm. and the jeweler is polishing you, mm-hmm. and let's say it hurts. I mean, I don't think diamonds hurt, but if they did,
still,
eventually
you're
going to look beautiful.
Yeah,
right.
Eventually,
right. Go ahead.
I'll be glad to look beautiful.
Amen.
You know, it's hard to try to see, you know, it's almost like you're trying to see the end of the story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you're going through the storm.
Right.
You know, and how you're going to be at the end of the story, you know, and what you want to be. So, and it's just making yourself pliable and making yourself useful and willing to learn. You can kind of compare it to somebody who's starting a new job.
Right.
You know, you're going to a new job with maybe not a whole skill set. And so you're learning this new skill set. But you know that when you get to this point at the end,
great,
you're
going
to have,
yes,
you're going to have a promotion, or you're going to have, you know, in nowadays terms, you know, it's always equated with money.
Right.
But you know that you're going to be a better whatever.
Employee,
whatever you are, employee, whatever.
Whatever,
at the end of the orientation. I mean, that's the goal.
Right.
If not, probably not going to work there. But
right. That's right.
And it's the same, but it's the same kind of thing. You know, you if you really honestly want to be a better person, you want to be more like Jesus, you really want that calling on your life, and you really want to fulfill that calling, then you have to see yourself at the end of the storm.
Exactly.
And get, and that's what gets you through.
Right.
Sometimes it is so hard.
Sometimes
to see the end.
Oh, very often.
So
yes.
So sometimes for me, the light at the end of the tunnel looked like it was coming through a pinhole.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or was a train coming to smack you?
Or yeah. Well, you know, for some reason, and I'm beginning to understand the reason. God keeps bringing me this Psalm 31.
Go ahead.
And I just want to share just parts of it. I'm not going to read the whole Psalm because there's a lot in there. But David, I mean, I once had a prophecy over me that prophesied that I was like another David, like I was a man after God's own heart.
Right.
Which, you know, as I look back on my life now and I look at David's life, I can kind of see a parallel although I've never been a murderer, you know,
right.
But there's things sure. that I've done in my life that I'm not proud of, you know, that, you know, there's confessions I will never make over a microphone in a radio station.
There you go, good.
Good you idea. Know?
But, well, everybody has things we're not proud of, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but mine are worse than anybody else's.
I'll listen to you.
And some things are only known between me and
God.
That's
right.
It.
Because
that's
that makes
it.
Us all human. But,
yeah. You know, David was writing to God. I want to read the first part of this, and then I'm going to go down to some. I mean, because this is me.
Okay. Read it.
Okay. I run to God, to you, God. I run for dear life. Don't let me down. Take me seriously this time. Get down on my level and listen. And please, no procrastination. Your granite cave, a hiding place. Your high cliff, airy, a place of safety.
Yeah.
And then it goes in and talks about that. But then down at verse 16, or verse 6, he says, I hate all this silly religion, but you, God, I trust.
Mm-hmm.
I have been there.
Yeah.
So many times.
Right.
I'm leaping and singing in the circle of your love. That's
right.
me,
right.
honestly and truthfully. And
right.
when I'm praising God, when I'm worshiping Him, I'm leaping and I mean,
right.
I'll be a
God.
Fool for Jesus any day.
Right.
You saw my pain. You disarmed my tormentors. You didn't leave me in their clutches, but gave me room to breathe.
Praise God.
Be kind to me, God. I'm in deep, deep trouble again. So many times in my life, that's where I was.
Right.
I've cried my eyes out. I feel hollow inside. My life leaks away, groan by groan. My years fade out in sighs. My troubles have me worn out. They've turned my bones to powder. And not too many years ago, this was me. To my enemies, I'm a monster. I'm ridiculed by my neighbors. This is literal for me.
Yeah.
My friends are horrified. They cross the street to avoid me. They want to blot me from memory. And this is mm-hmm. this is my life. Forget me like a corpse in a grave. Discard me like a broken dish in the trash. The street talk gossip has me criminally insane. Be the kind locked doors they plot how to ruin me for
These
good.
Are the words of David. This is what he was feeling.
But this is exactly
wow.
my life.
And some of these out there may be having this the
is
same thing.
Yeah, about. You may. And I know people identify with this. David was a human
exactly.
being
yes.
who let he told it like it was all
right.
the time.
Yes. All, he was going
God,
through storms just like this.
God here heard it all
Amen.
From David.
Yes, yes.
Then back down to that, and there's all kinds of stuff here. But down around verse 19. What a stack of blessings you have piled up for those who worship you.
Praise God.
Ready and waiting for all who run to you to escape an unkind world.
Amen.
You hide them safely from the opposition. As you slam the door on those oily, mocking faces, you silence the poisonous gossip. Blessed God.
Amen.
His love is the wonder of the world. Trapped by a siege, I panicked. Out of sight, out of mind, I said. But you heard me say it. You heard and listened.
Amen.
Love God, all you saints. This is for everyone out there.
Amen.
Everyone out there.
Everyone.
If you don't know God, today's your day.
Today's your day. Amen.
But love God, all you saints. God takes care of all who stay close. God takes care of all who stay close to him. But he pays back in full those arrogant enough to go it alone. Be brave. Be strong. Don't give up. Expect God to get here soon.
Praise God. Be brave. Be strong. Isn't that what Jesus said to Peter?
That's what he said.
You know, take courage.
Take courage.
You know, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Because God's right there. To you that are listening to us today, the storms are in our life, and sometimes they are so hard that we just can't even imagine how we're ever going to come out of those. But we do. Connie, you said something to me earlier today about as hard as the storms are, they are over fairly quickly.
Yeah. Pretty much.
That's because you are as old as you are and you can look back, right? And see.
She's okay. Younger than us,
right.
Pastor. She's younger
she
than
is.
Us.
Younger I know. But isn't that true, though?
Yeah.
That the things that we think are here forever and that we're never going to get out of this problem, this storm. I mean, David, I mean, the great psalmist David wrote these words to Nathan that you just read.
I know.
This makes it sound like he was really in trouble in a lot of ways and that he was going through some huge storms.
Yes,
yet these things got over with. They passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley,
yes.
In the shadow of death,
right.
I fear no evil. It doesn't say that you camp out there,
no.
Right?
You know, and that you go there and pitch a tent
no.
and have a campfire
no,
and
right.
roast marshmallows
right.
and
move in.
And move in.
Yeah, right.
You know, you pass through.
You pass through it.
And everything passes over.
That's everything changes.
Okay,
and it's all, it's, it, you know, how you react to things in life has to do with probably 98% of your attitude.
Right.
What's inside?
What's inside. And, you know, last time, a couple weeks ago when I was here, we talked about garbage in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What you put in.
Yes.
What you fertilize your mind with. What you...
Exactly.
You know, just like in your body, when you eat, the food that you eat, if you expect to have energy from the fuel that you're fueling your body with, then you have to eat the right things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just, it's the same thing with your mind and your spirit. If you expect to be like Jesus and you want to be like Jesus, then you have to put in those things, the Bible and surround yourself with the right people and sit under a pastor who teaches the word of God.
Like Amen. Our pastor.
Like our pastor.
Amen.
That's
like
what
no
Beacon's all about.
Beacon of Hope is
the
all about
God.
That. That's right.
And
you know,
loving
we're not
each other.
About, we're not about any fancy stuff. We're just very basic. We sing and praise God, and we have a wonderful community of believers, but it's about the Word of God. That's what
God's
it's all
word.
About.
Yeah, and the best part is that we don't have to dress up if we don't want to.
That's right. We can be casual.
We were giving Nathan a hard time on the way in here.
Oh, Nathan always looks like $1 million, but you and I, Connie, we yeah, okay.
Yeah,
anyway,
I could have looked better today. But.
Okay. Well, but we're comfortable, aren't we?
Yes.
And so anybody coming to Beacon can come as you
they
are
you
and
are.
Feel
just
comfortable in the house of the Lord.
That's right.
Because it is all about learning the principles in God's word that are going to help you through these storms and these struggles.
Right. There's nothing else that will help you through it.
No.
I mean, and survive.
Dr. Phil? What about Dr. Phil?
No, please.
No, actually, you know, there are shows and there are people who have great ideas, okay? But guys, you are a spirit. I said this earlier to Nathan and Connie right before we were leaving to come to the radio. I am reminded today, we are a spirit that lives in a physical body and we have a soul, which is emotions. The word says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that you are spirit, soul, and body. You know, I know that my dad, his spirit is with Jesus. That's where he is. I know where his body is. His old worn out physical body is over here at Curlew Hills Cemetery. But let me tell you, he is really with the Lord.
Amen.
That's
there's
where Bill
no
Wagner
doubt.
Is.
There is no doubt.
That's where
no
he
doubt.
Is.
No
he's
doubt.
Sitting up there giving him the elbows.
Yeah, he's saying, hey, listen to my daughter's
that's
radio
my girl.
Show.
That's
yeah.
my girl down here.
Yeah. But you guys, honestly, it is all about eternal life. And so even though there are good psychological principles that are out there that will help us, tools to live each day, bottom line is, do you know Jesus?
That's it.
Do you have God in your life? Because you need him to get through the circumstances that you're in.
We're going to be dead a lot longer, a whole lot longer than we're going to be alive.
Exactly.
You know, so you...
Right. That's true.
It's true.
Right.
And so, I mean, let's just talk
right.
the plain truth here.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
For all eternity.
So, you know, you could just get a little bit of fire insurance so that you don't burn to death.
Right.
Or you could live the good
wow.
life.
Wow. Praise God.
Amen.
In
forever.
Heaven, forever.
In heaven. Yeah,
forever.
Hanging out with Jesus.
And part of that is learning that these sufferings have a purpose. Listen
right.
to me, radio audience. Your sufferings have a purpose. They are in your life to teach you that you can't rely on yourself.
That's right.
It's not about you and your way, baby. It's about God and Him having His way in your life and you becoming like Jesus.
And being able to share your story with somebody else to help them get through this life, this life as well.
Listen to me. It's my turn.
It's your
turn.
No, it's not your turn.
Listen to him.
He can't even sit still.
I can't
look
sit
at him.
Still.
I know.
You know I can't sit still. God just gives me this stuff, you know, when you're sharing the word and he just gives me this stuff.
Amen.
That I know will impact somebody. You know, Peter walked on water.
Right.
He walked on top of the storm.
Amen.
Because he had his eyes on
Jesus.
He said, if you are the Lord, tell me to come to you and let me come.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, come on. And the longest he kept his eyes on Jesus,
amen. Preach it.
He walked on top of the storm.
That's exactly right.
He walked on top of the waves and the wind.
It doesn't mean the waves weren't there.
They were there. Right. The storm was there.
Right.
But then when he looked down at the storm, when he looked down at the waves, then his faith turned to fear.
Right.
And that's when he was overcome. And the victory in a storm is to keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
The one that calms the storm.
Amen.
The one that will take you through the storm.
Yes.
And the one that will teach you what you need to learn from the storm. You know, we talk about how we are torn.
Right.
And there are, I mean, come on. Life tears you up.
Yeah, it does.
People tear you up.
That's right.
Jobs tear you up. Situations tear you up. And we are probably the biggest destroyer of ourselves.
Right.
I mean, I know that what I did to myself was far worse than what anyone else could do to me.
Right.
Because
we are our own worst enemies sometimes.
Sometimes we are.
Right.
And then none of it makes sense until Jesus comes and shines a light in the darkness and dispels the darkness.
Amen.
Until you really get Jesus Christ in your heart, in your life, until you go to Him and you say, run to God for your life, for dear life, and cling to Him and say, okay, God, this is hell. I don't know what's going on. Help.
Right. You run to Him.
You run to Him.
And He always
answers. And you keep your eyes on Him. And it changes your agony. Honestly, it doesn't
change
the situation.
But
it changes your agony to joy. And I mean, that happened to me today.
Right.
This morning. Yep.
Yeah, because Nathan walked into my office before the service and he was in a lot of physical distress, pain in his body.
Pain,
and he was feeling
agony,
very bad. And yet he had to go up there and get on that piano and microphone and sing. And God just came through in such a powerful way. And the anointing was so strong. We praise God for that.
I'm telling you, the physical manifestation of the Spirit of God coming and set me free.
Yes.
I was totally set free from the bondage, the darkness, the heaviness, the hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I was right underneath my eyeballs full of tears.
Right.
And just like God. And I was
and there
saying,
he is.
God, come on. What's up with this? I can't, you know. And I didn't see how I could.
Because in our own strength, a lot of times we can't. We can't.
But I was obedient because I love God.
Right.
Yep.
And so the struggles, the trials, the suffering, even
physical, emotional,
whatever it might be, God has a reason because you know what? You're in the potter's hand. God is working on the inside of you to change you. Some of you out there listening today, I want you to hear this. God is working on the inside of you. So that's why you can give thanks in the midst of your storm, because the storm is causing you to get stronger. Do you think for a moment that Peter didn't grow strong in God from that moment on when he realized that he could actually walk on water?
Yes.
From that moment on, do you think Peter ever forgot that situation? No, because Jesus took his hand and they got into the boat. Mm-hmm. Listen to this song, The Potter's Hand. Praise God, the potter's hand. Doesn't that say it all? Some of you out there right now are, that song is so powerful. Some of you are not sure of your salvation. If you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now, I'd like for you to repeat this prayer after me. And it simply is going to invite Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. Be the one who forgives you of your sin. You're going to acknowledge that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you're going to invite him into your heart right now by faith. And guess what? He's going to move in and live on the inside of you. Nathan and Connie, would you repeat after me so that people feel comfortable praying this prayer?
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
I acknowledge my need for you.
I acknowledge my need for you.
I believe that I am a sinner that needs salvation. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he came to this earth and died on a cross.
That he came to this earth and died on the cross for me.
I believe that God raised him from the dead.